The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. Before we unlock the ancient and present-day secrets of nerddom, behold, a paid advertisement for a product that may change your life. Introducing Comic Bento. It's one of those mail-away mystery box programs us nerds love so much, but this one is especially near and dear to our hearts. It's a graphic novel subscription service, and I'm not talking about a single book of the month. Comic Bento sends you at least $50 in comics every month. Both major titles from superhero set with, you know, awesome indies as well that you might have slipped by you know, when you're doing your comic pulling and all that. Things just happen. I've seen their recent releases, and these are quality books, people. Subscription starts at $17.50 a month, but we can do you one better. When you sign up, enter the promo code NERDY, and you'll get $5 off all new subscriptions. Whether you love comics or have always needed an excuse to let comics into your life, there's never been a better time than now. Head to comicbento.com and subscribe today using the promo code NERDY to get $5 off. And you should also know that
all Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, just visit nerdyshow.com.
Comes.
Wow, wow,
welcome.
I like to do the echo part.
Wow, wow.
Welcome to Nerdy Show. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And I'm Boar.
Oh. And I'm Jess.
And she's Jess. Lots of ands.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome back to Nerdy Show. We're resuming our regular schedule now after the holidays. Screwed with our brains, something good. You can hear Doug and I talk about that in a recent episode.
Candid episode.
Yeah, very very candid, very raw, very real, scared straight kind of Nerdy Show episode.
That episode was actually hilarious because you were talking about me being in Baltimore and I was listening to it in Baltimore. I was like, that's me!
Yeah, that was pretty raw. And speaking of raw, we're actually going to try something quite raw this Nerdy Show. We're experimenting with a one-take show, as in no edits. So there's going to be some ums and so on. We back in 2009 when we were on the radio, we got real good at this, and then we got super lazy in the years that followed on Nerdy Show when we turned into a podcast and could edit time and space so that we sound super awesome all the time. So, well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, but peeking behind the curtain, we're not always that awesome. We cut a lot of stuff out.
So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. We got lots of cool stuff to talk about. We're doing a microsode. That's where we talk about what you want us to talk about for 15 minutes. And the topic is the new upcoming Deadpool movie. So we're going to be spending some time with that. There's some very strange experiments in human-animal hybridization that we're going to discuss, some other movie news, and some comic stuff, as indicated by Comic Bento, the ad you may have just heard. We hope you did. We'll talk more about that, too. But first, let's talk about cool stuff we've done. Who's done some cool stuff? Anybody want to pipe up and jump in here, first and foremost? Or I can go.
Go ahead.
What do you got? Let's see if we can top it.
Start us off.
Well, I didn't get the opportunity to spend Christmas with my family in December, so I just did that. Went down to South Florida in Fort Lauderdale, where I'm from. And there's a few things. I love South Florida. I love everything about it. I've done most of the cool things to do in South Florida, but there are a couple things that I've known about for a long time that I haven't gotten to do. And I did one of them recently. I went to a place called Coral Castle. Doug's nodding because he knows all about this because I've gone on and on about this weird thing. Jess or Rob, you guys know about this at all?
I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
Okay.
Nope. Me neither.
It sounds like maybe an amusement park that SpongeBob would go to.
This thing is a... okay. It is on a lot of mysterious shows, like Unexplained... shows, right? It's a building created by one man, carved out of solid limestone in, like, I think the 1930s or something, early 20th century, and no one knows how he did it. It's all massive walls, massive shapes. It is much like a castle. There's like a huge moon carved out of solid limestone and like all these Masonic symbols and bizarre sculptures relating to a 16-year-old who left him at the altar in Latveria, or whichever one of those is not fictional.
So wait, it's made out of limestone and it's exposed to the elements and it was carved in the 30s and it's still around?
Yeah, well, like, let's say Keystone, like, it's in, you know, in Florida, in especially southern Florida, the just underneath the surface dirt, the topsoil, there's extremely hard stone made from compressed coral, like ancient coral.
Gotcha.
It's very dense, it's very hard, and obviously it can withstand the elements. So what this guy's done, it's not an easy thing to do. No one knows how he did it, and there's all kinds of paranormal things that people suspect about this place because he was extremely secretive. When everybody would ask him, dude, how did you make this? He'd say, well, it's easy if you know how. And be really cryptic. He claimed to know the secrets of the pyramids. He studied electromagnetism. So some people believe that he actually knew an ancient method of manipulating the electromagnetic field due to harmonic convergence that, or some other harmonic word, anyway, I've forgotten, but that allows him to actually levitate, albeit slightly, these massive multi-ton slabs of stone.
Or he might be an alchemist.
Or he might be an alchemist.
Didn't you say that the construction also happened at night?
He did a lot of stuff at night, yeah.
So, yeah, so no one could even... What? They'd come by the next day and there'd be more stuff complete.
Well, this isn't too weird to me, Jess, because in Florida, it's really hot during the day. You're not going to want to go constructing crap.
That is true.
During the middle
that is a great point. It's like, man, it's hot out here. How did you ever get anything done? Cool. You just got to know how to build it. It's like you got to build it at night. It's the only way.
That might have been
his
secret.
But if he knew how to build it, does he not know how to keep himself cool then? I mean, why can't those secrets go together?
It's probably hand in hand. Just like it's you're maybe he's like a vampire from Elder Scrolls. Like he's just better at night. Like he's stronger at night.
It's hard to cast a construction spell and a keep cool spell at the same time. Everybody knows that. God.
But yeah, it's a
I
really
fail again.
It's like this really bizarre sculpture garden with all these strange things relating to this girl who never married him and it was a guy who lived alone but had turned his home into an amusement park. Like you could pay 10 cents back in the day and get to go inside and tour his home.
It sounds pretty steep.
Yeah, pretty steep. Yeah, totally. It's $15 now. But it was really neat. It's on the convergence of a bunch of ley lines, you know, the lines of mystical energy that flow all over the planet and so on. It's like right there at a convergence point for that. So
did
there
you have
is,
to get a dousing rod to confirm that?
there are tons and tons of speculation about how he did this thing, what he knows, and all kinds of stuff. The fact is that for even if there's a logical, like, non-paranormal explanation, no one does actually know how he did it. I went there with John from Nerdy Show, and he's convinced that it could be done with pulleys and levers, but, you know, no one's really offered up the actual explanation for how it was done.
Interesting.
So it's Florida's very own Stonehenge.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is.
Except you know the who, I guess.
Yeah, the who, but definitely not the how or not much of the why.
Well, to charge 10 cents, that's the why.
Someday I'll be able to charge $15.
You're mad, I tell you.
What about you guys?
I don't got anything like top of that. I played more Fallout. The past week, not a lot has happened in the past couple weeks.
I can go really personal, I guess, and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm dating a new girl, and
okay.
And I had a really weird holiday where my mom flew down from Michigan and stayed with us. That was really weird.
How long have you guys been together?
Like, since October.
Okay.
I guess mid-October.
So was it weird with your mom meeting her?
That part wasn't weird. It's just my mom's a really weird person, I guess, so.
We're going to have to qualify that more.
Yeah, well, if you go back and listen to some old episodes of Derpy Show, there's a segment called Text from Boar's Mom.
Oh, it's a whole segment.
Usually they involved, like, alpacas or, like, she raises alpacas and she breeds animals. So she's basically lives on a weird animal farm.
Okay. And 4 legs good, 2 legs bad.
Yeah. it's kind of like that. So I guess I just had a really bizarre holiday experience this time around. So without going into too much detail, that's a lot of what's been going on with me. And something a little more relevant to the show, I guess, I've been getting into Destiny.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not a console person, so that's probably why you are shocked.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I'm surprised because around this time I'm hearing people say, you know what? I'm falling out of Destiny. Like, they're like, they're people who did start strong are right around this time being like, you know what? I'm checking out.
No, this all
I thought it was pretty much over.
It ties back to me dating this girl because I've got a PS4 over at her house. No.
Okay.
No, we actually met on Tinder. Now that you bring that up, that's also very interesting to explain to older people. But I've got a PS4 over at her place, so I've been playing stuff, and everybody keeps talking about Destiny. You know, Trench and Tony are still going at it regularly, so I'm like, really? I'm going to get in on this Destiny thing. And I feel like, you know, Slowpoke coming in really late to the party. And
I only just got to play Minecraft for the first time late last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weirder, I think.
No, it is.
That's a little bit weirder.
It is weirder.
But I usually hate console shooters, and I've been enjoying it.
Cool.
So yeah, that's what's been going on in Boreland.
What about Jessland?
Not too much, I guess. So I'm also playing Fallout. Actually, since that episode where I didn't have much to contribute because I hadn't played it yet, because my boyfriend was playing it, and now I've gotten into it and I see what the hype's about. So that's a thing. I also painted pottery yesterday. So that I don't think I've done since I was 10. And so that was interesting.
Was that like
actually surprisingly fun?
Was it one of those adult pottery activity places that I've seen?
No, it wasn't like technically adult stuff. So what happened was my friend was visiting and we went to Berkeley so she could pick up. She was getting a new ring done, engagement ring that I guess then goes with your wedding band. I don't really know how that normal stuff works.
Adult pottery gives me some interesting ideas. I kind of want to open up a place called Sexy Pots, where you come and craft erotic pottery.
You can just call it Sex Pots. Like,
yeah,
welcome to Sex Pots. Yeah. Just come in and it's just all the
patent pending.
Yeah, yeah.
We can get Annie Potts to be the mascot, like do the TV commercials. Man, come down to Sex Pots.
Sculpt your pots into sexy shapes.
Well, this place that you say that wasn't exactly an adult pottery place, was there a sign that said no drug paraphernalia? Like no making of drug paraphernalia?
No, but there was a children's birthday party upstairs. So,
okay, then I guess it wasn't full on adult. Yeah.
What's their policy on making ceramic knives? This one's TSA proof.
It's like 3D printing, but you with your hands. You can 3D print a ceramic gun.
I don't know if that one would work quite as well as the knife.
No, just let him go ahead.
It's, like, it's got a little ceramic spring and everything.
Something else I did when I was in Fort Lauderdale was I went to a, I guess it's an art house movie theater that I hadn't been to. I think it opened just after I left home for college. A place called Cinema Paradiso, named after the old Italian film. And it's a church that's been converted into a movie theater, which is pretty awesome. And I saw a movie that's limited release. It's called Moonwalkers. Anybody heard of this?
Sounds like Michael Jackson thing or something.
Mm-hmm. It isn't. It's
less interested. Go on.
It's a comedy based on the conspiracy theory that Stanley Kubrick directed the moon landing.
Oh, boy.
Continue.
Which is a great premise and an okay film. But it stars two great Rons, Ron Perlman and Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley?
Yeah, Rupert Grint.
Ron Weasley.
So it stars one famous Ron.
I don't know. I had to look up this guy's name. I don't know
what his famous
fucking name
Rupert.
Is.
And it was written by L. Ron Hubbard.
It was written by a guy named Dean Craig. I didn't recognize anything on his list. And the director was a first-time film director named Antoine Bardot-Jacquet. But I did recognize something else he did. A couple years ago, he's the guy who did, remember the live-action Wacky Races car commercial from, like, France or England or something?
No.
It was incredible. It was actual, like, licensed Wacky Racers with characters, but all the cartoon characters were rendered in horrific meldings of, like, live-action and CGI. Very well done. Very, very well done. And the movie was really well shot. But it wasn't very tight. Like, the timing was kind of off.
Are we talking about the commercial or the movie?
We're talking about the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Switch over to Moonwalkers.
I'm really stuck on this Wacky Racers live action.
And you should be, because it's the best part. Moonwalkers was okay. I mean, check if you have a chance, like see it. It's not like Turbo Kid where like see Turbo Kid, but Moonwalkers was all right. I wanted it to be more about Stanley Kubrick, but in fact, it's like kind of a con job. Ron Perlman plays a CIA agent who, in one of the many plot fallacies of the film, for some reason, they're trying to organize this Plan B recording of the moon landing with just 7 days to go until the astronauts arrive. Seems like a terrible idea. There are a bunch of things that didn't make sense. Like, if this was actually real, they would not have done it this way. Like, they would have known, for example, that Stanley Kubrick was actually doing a press tour in Europe for 2001: A Space Odyssey and not actually in London where Ron Perlman was sent to go talk to his agent to buy his time. But instead, that enabled an opportunity for a conniving band promoter to use a mistaken identity in his favor and get his friend, who kind of looked like Stanley Kubrick, to pretend to be him.
Mm-hmm.
It would be more interesting to me if it was actually about, like, a parody of Stanley Kubrick, like Stanley, someone being
they
Stanley
have,
Kubrick.
The guy who looks like Stanley Kubrick should have been out doing the press junket, and the real Stanley Kubrick was working with the CIA.
There were
just that,
yeah.
You know what? Just give me that one page of the script, and I'll fix that. And then it suddenly
it had a lot of potential, and it kind of fumbled it. But it was really well shot, and interesting that it exists for sure. Had nerdy elements to it, but yeah, it was just
with
okay.
Your glowing review, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll go see that right away. Cap said it was all right.
Yeah, I know. You could watch much worse things on a streaming service in the near future. Probably.
Like Making a Murderer?
I don't know. What is that?
Yeah, I haven't seen... Have you watched any of that?
I hate it.
Oh, I haven't seen any of it.
Like,
everyone's raving about it.
Yeah, everybody's talking about how amazing it is and everything, and it's, you know, like... I was told at work, this is epic. You have to watch this by multiple people. And it was terrible. Huh. I couldn't stand to watch
even,
it. About,
so terrible, even.
I was halfway through the first episode, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore. I continued to watch it. But I do not want to resume ever.
Okay.
It's pretty much just reasons? Like, it's filmed kind of like an episode of Intervention or like a really bad documentary. And it's not actually teaching you anything or entertaining you. It's just giving you a bunch of information about how cops are kind of shitty and this person that they were framing is a little shitty, but they're trying to make you really sympathetic towards them. It's weird. Hmm. I don't understand the hype.
Hmm. Bummer. Do you guys want to talk about Deadpool?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that, because that movie looks like it's going to be amazing.
Hell yeah.
All right, so I'm going to set the timer for 15 minutes in a little bit. But this is, like I said earlier, a microsode, so that's where we talk about what you want us to talk about for 15 minutes. We've actually, for the time being, suspended new microsodes. They were formally acquired via our Patreon. We have a pretty substantial backlog, so we're going to take care of all that. We're going to nuke it out, and then... You'll hear more from Microsodes in the future, but we have plenty to cover in the meantime. If you want to see a full list, well, there's a list over on the Nerdy Show forums, and we'll link to it on this episode's page. So right now, Jeffrey Lalonde wants us to talk about the forthcoming Deadpool movie. I've got the timer set for 15 minutes. Here we go. So when I first heard about it, I was excited because I knew from many interviews in the past that Ryan Reynolds was so enthusiastic about being true to form Deadpool. But we all know... He and everyone else got super boned in Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of a hard sell. Could it really work? But, man, like, every trailer has just been further convincing me that this is totally going to work, unless it's a big lie, you know?
Well, not even just the trailers. I mean, just even all of, like, the marketing promos that they have done for it is just incredible. Like, before Christmas or, like, right after Halloween... They had Deadpool talking to a group of kids that were cosplaying other superheroes, and it
was
just
that was great.
It was just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ryan Reynolds has the character nailed. Like, it's such a beautiful circumstance of a diehard fan who's really got the character voice down, which is spectacular. And the creative team seems like a good bunch for it. Like the guys who wrote it. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, they're the guys who wrote Zombieland, which is a pretty decent fit for Deadpool. And the guy's directing it, well, he's the co-founder of Blur Studios.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should probably extol on the virtues of Blur Studios, Doug. You're a big fan.
Well, I've been waiting for them to make a feature film, you know? Like, yeah. I mean, I remember seeing... like for anyone who's not familiar with Blur Studios, they basically did all the best game trailers that you've ever seen.
Star Wars stuff?
Basically all of the stuff from Star Wars The Old Republic. They did the trailers for Star Wars Unleashed 1 and 2. They did a short, they pitched like a short for the based on the comic The Goon. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to work on that with David Fincher, and he's like still apparently interested in the project, but
it's still happening actually. And this guy Tim Miller, the co-founder, he's doing it. He's the director of that.
Then
when
great.
That happens.
It's been a long time coming because they put a little short trailer thing online like years ago. So that's cool that that's going to get made. And they've made like I think they made even a couple Oscar-winning shorts before, but they mostly just do commercials and stuff. But all in all, the commercials they do are great. And in fact, a lot of the criticisms for a lot of games are, why wasn't it as cool as that trailer? So that tells you something about how cool it is. And I'm guessing then Blur was responsible for that early test footage of the Deadpool movie.
Yes.
That had Ryan Reynolds in it, and that's the one that got the internet. The internet blew up, and that's when they decided, okay, maybe there is money to be made with the Deadpool movie.
Do you know if that's why they made the movie? Like, there was enough hype from that?
From what I understand, that is entirely responsible for why
they made
it. I
didn't know if the decision was already made to make the movie completely before that.
It's unclear. There were murmurings that they leaked it on purpose to try to force the studios to concede.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It totally does. Because, I mean, I'm sure the uphill battle for this was crazy. And Marvel, if it was up to Marvel Studios, they would have just done it. But it's not. It's Sony who owns the X-Men rights. Or no, Fox. It's Fox who has the X-Men rights. And that's been, a problematic relationship, obviously.
Is this going to tie into the X-Men film franchise?
Well, yeah, it actually does. I don't know how. Or maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure. But they actually originally... It has Colossus in it.
But he doesn't look like the Colossus from the other X-Men movies.
He doesn't because they didn't get the same guy. They asked him, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means exactly. But they did attempt to have the same Colossus as in all the other films.
Mm-hmm.
Take it that what you will. And I don't know if this film is going to directly reference the other thing called Deadpool and just be like, well, that was like a prototype or whatever. I don't, maybe they'll just dismiss it altogether. And from the thing from Wolverine Origins, they might as well.
Luckily, I didn't see Wolverine Origins.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
I was told that it was really bad, so I stayed away from it.
A waking nightmare, I think. So I spoke with Daniel Way. He was at the guy who wrote Deadpool for... Well, a very long time. There's been a lot of folks with some good long runs on Deadpool, but Daniel Way wrote one of the more influential recent runs. He was at, he's been on the show before, and we go back a ways, but he was at North Carolina Comic Con, and he did some advising on the film. And the one thing he advised against was doing the origin story aspect of it, which you can see is kind of highlighted pretty prominently in the films, that you see naked face, normal Ryan Reynolds become Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can tell, it looks like they kind of did it all right. Like, as far as you could.
I mean, I think they have to put that in the trailer because people who don't know comics go, who the hell is Deadpool? Like, Deadpool? Like, wasn't that a Clint Eastwood movie? And it's like, yeah, it was. But, for anyone who's not familiar, they're just confused. They're like, this guy looks kind of like Spider-Man, but he's not. And he's being a smartass. If anyone, still going into that movie is not familiar with Deadpool and he starts breaking the fourth wall talking to the camera, I think a lot of people are going to be like, this is not for me. Like, in the same way people accidentally walk into something like Les Mis and not know it's a musical. They're like, what the fuck? They just start singing? Like, same people went into Sweeney Todd and they're like, what is this? Like, they're so confused.
I understand why some people would get frustrated for an origin story too, though, because... I know personally I get really sick of origin stories, especially Superman and Spider-Man. I never want to see their origin stories on film again.
Ever.
Mm. Ever.
Yeah.
But in a case like Deadpool, I can see where it would be probably necessary to do it once.
You could poke fun at it, too. I mean, if it's truly Deadpool, he, can make it fun and funny.
Yeah, I mean, he could break the fourth wall and tell it like a story or something.
The overall plot seems to be... just basic revenge deal. I mean, you don't need to have a heavy plot in Deadpool. You just need to have a good from point A to point B, and then all the jokes happen in the middle and party. So far, so good. Weirdly, the girlfriend that's like kidnapped or whatever, her name's Vanessa, and that's her actual like human name is the same name as a longtime girlfriend of Deadpool's back in the 90s, who was the mercenary copycat who had like a mystique like pretending to be other people kind of power. I very much doubt that she's powered in the film. Maybe, I don't know if that's a spoiler. It shouldn't be. It's pretty, it's just out there. But they've got, like, supporting cast from, like, longtime Deadpool characters, Weasel, Blind Owl, blind owl, not owl. And the weirdest thing, any of you guys know the young girl who's with Colossus in these trailers?
She looked like she had some kind of power going on. Was it, is that supposed to be Scarlet Witch in a weird way? Like, what? I don't know. Who is it? I have no idea.
Jesse, were you familiar with this character?
No.
I don't know what inspired them to do this, and I'm totally for it. This is a character called whose mutant name, self chosen, I bet you'll assume, Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And this is a character who was basically introduced in Grant Morrison's 2001 X-Men run, which was amazing. Introduced and killed practically in the same breath. When all of Genosha was obliterated by Cassandra Nova's Omega Sentinels, this character died. And Emma Frost, the White Queen, was real broken up over it. A telepath, but like, they're like, all right, well, we like the name Negasonic Teenage Warhead. We like the look. Let's just go with that. Sure. And now the character in whatever, you know, multiversal clusterfuck you choose to have this, you know, connect in your brain has a second lease on life.
Weird.
Yeah. I'm for it. It's interesting. But, you know, there it is.
I've just been burned before, so I'm just like, hey, I'll wait. And if people say it's good, I'll check it out. But I'm not going to be first in line because it's such a toss-up with Fox and Marvel. I mean, in the past year alone, you know.
Have you seen the Deadpool billboards that have been going up? Like the funny billboards?
The one that's like, this Valentine's Day, Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, that was real?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was real.
Yeah, they made it out to be like a rom-com or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's got like normal human face Ryan Reynolds on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
And then there's another one which confused the crap out of me, like literally. It's two emojis and the letter L, and it's a skull, the poo emoji, and then the letter L, and it's supposed to be Deadpool. But I stared at the thing like without context for a while, and I was like, skull shittle.
Yeah.
What?
I thought the same thing.
I was like, skull shittle?
Skull crapple?
Yeah.
Bone poople? Like, I had no idea.
It confused me.
Beautiful. I mean, they've been handling this so well. And like, there's the poster is like him like adjusting his belt with his like pistol, basically a, like a dick. It's this whole like crotch dick thing.
I know about the crotch dick thing.
I want to know what normal people think of this movie. Like,
I think normal people are confused.
Yeah,
I really do. It's like, and I think instead of them. That's the thing. It feels like a half step. Where on one hand, they're like, okay, in the trailer, we got to say, I was once a normal guy. Then I had this weird operation. Then I was dying. And then suddenly I'm immortal. Now I got to save my girlfriend. But on the other hand, they're intentionally trying to confuse people with the Deadpool Valentine's Day. You know, it's like, it's such a...
Have you seen the sweater poster?
Yeah.
I have not.
It's him in a turtleneck sweater that says the word Deadpool stitched in it. It says, a new kind of superhero.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's so many mixed messages about what this movie is.
Yeah. And then on the normal people front, I mean, so it finally got its, you know, hard R rating, which is great. But now parents are coming together and be like, can we get a PG-13 cut? Because our kids want to see it.
I was looking for a tweet because one of the Deadpool... something's tweeted back to that, and it was hilarious, but I can't find it to read it.
I've got it right here. Aaron tweeted it to me today. A woman named Grace Randolph started a petition in honor of 8-year-old Matt, almost 1,000 signatures to see this movie. So there's this Twitter, and I don't know if it is official. It's not officially official. It's like secret official, but it's been around since 2010.
Like guerrilla marketing official,
right?
Okay.
And it's at Comedic Merc. And there's several others. There's one for Copycat. There's one for Negasonic Teenage Warhead. There's one for Colossus. They might all be the same person, or they might all be the Deadpool promotions team. But the reply to at Grace Randolph was, "Dear little boy who wants to see my movie, no, you can't see it. It's for big boys and girls. Fuck you. Your mom's a whore. Love, Deadpool."
That's perfect.
It's probably not official.
But maybe officially unofficial? I don't even know if that... It's very intense. It's very cruel. It's very not something anyone would officially do ever. But I don't know.
It's still funny.
It is funny. And that account is doing quite a bit to promote the film. And I don't know to what end, you know? So it's interesting. And And I think that if that doesn't get the message across of like, no, seriously, stay the fuck away from this movie. Like, don't ruin our good time. Don't right. shit this up for us. Stay the fuck away. You're not entitled to a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's maybe they need that, you know, that tough love. He did say love at the end. So, you know,
it's like the kid can grow up, but we can never like get a better version of the movie if they make it, you know, all crapped out for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, it's like, but then why does the comic book stories have to have this rating? Like, would you take your kid to go see American Sniper?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think kids aren't seeing the trailer for American Sniper saying that looks like fun. You know, that's the difference. Of course, if it's for a rated R movie, they don't really show rated R movie trailers in front of other like PG or PG-13 movies. So where did the kid see the trailer? It must have been online. Then why are you letting your kid search random movie trailers online if he's 8 years old? So it's like he's 8 years old. He's not old enough. You don't think he's old enough to see a rated R movie, but he's old enough to search for his own shit online. So he's probably seen a lot worse stuff online than this parent probably realizes.
So I think.
Hey, well, he promised to clean his room, though, if his mom let him go. So.
In summation, just let the kid see the fucking movie.
Yeah, if he wants to see it that bad, watch it with him.
Yeah, but you know.
Or watch it first, then decide to go.
But
you know?
Proactive Power Mom, she's got a petition going, Doug. She's going to go to change.org and she's going to get her petition. I don't know what fucking petition service this is on, but either way, like, you know, she decided that she had to protest Fox Pictures, you know. And
well, was it protest or rather just petition them? Say, hey, sure. please give us a PG-13 version, you know, instead of. Rated R is bad. She's probably like, well, hey, how about you just make a version for children? Is probably her, you know, her take on it.
That would be nice. Admittedly, I did not spend the time to examine the mission statement of her petition.
I'm just saying either way, parents got to, you know, I shouldn't talk.
But they also don't understand, nothing's changed.
Yeah, but.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Well, okay, that is time, and this is not the last you've heard of Deadpool. I'm sure we're going to talk about it after the film has come out to confirm that it is awesome or lament that it sucked ass. Who knows? While we're on the subject of comic book things, so you no doubt heard the ad at the beginning of the episode. We haven't done ads pretty much ever. We have done, but it's not a frequent thing. And we're doing what we can to make sure that Nerdy Show is more sustainable. Obviously, we're kept alive via generous contributions from Patreon, one-time donations from you guys as well, and all the times that you go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon and follow our links to buy stuff on Amazon and give us that kickback because we're Amazon affiliates. However, the main source of income for all podcasts, you may have seen lots of articles out there in the ether saying that, well, you know, podcasts are booming market,
new medium,
yeah, and all that. Well, I mean, the fact is that podcasts make money for people who are already established, and the only way anybody makes any kind of like hardcore money is either if they have, I guess, a bigger listener base than we do, or just that they have ads. So, whereas as you may have heard in other shows, we are going to try to make these ads fun and funny and interesting and always like something relevant, because Like, I didn't know about Comic Bento until they approached us, but I checked it out. It is a really good service, and this is me doing an unsolicited additional, like, discussion about them. They paid for the pre-roll ad. They did not pay for the mid-roll ad. But I did check out the past couple months that they'd done. Back in November, their theme was Button Masher, so they had all video game-themed comic books. They had the first volume of Sonic and Mega Man Worlds Collide, that crossover that Archie did recently. They had Gail Simone's run on Tomb Raider based on the more recent comics, and Gail's an incredible writer. I always wanted to read that series and never got to. My list here. There it is. The first volume of Penny Arcade and Marvel's original Contest of Champions. But then last month, December 2015, they went above and beyond. They're supposed to do about $50 worth of comic books. They did 100. And the theme was throwback. And they interpreted that in a couple different ways. Everybody got a different volume of Marvel Masterworks. So that's like the earliest Marvel stuff.
It's like a full volume?
A full volume.
Oh, wow.
Like a hardcover volume of Marvel Masterworks. I saw somebody got Captain America. Somebody got the Avengers. Somebody got Fantastic Four. Like it seemed to be completely random. The first volume of Youngblood, that old like Gen 1 Image comic. Dynamite's Battlestar Galactica comic, but the one based on the original television series. And this is the big one. The deluxe edition of The Fifth Beatle. Like, swept so many graphic novel awards. Incredible, incredible book. Even if your interest in the Beatles is minimal. A beautiful, beautiful graphic novel. I don't even have the deluxe edition. Like, that, it's, that's crazy. It's like a $50 book.
Damn.
Yeah. Hmm. So, and actually, if you're interested in The Fifth Beatle, I interviewed the guy who wrote it, Vivek Tiwari, for Consequence of Sound, a couple years ago when the book came out first. So, the link to that as well. But it's cool. January's theme is the gray area. So, like, heroes and villains walking the line between good and evil. And February's hasn't really been announced yet. That's what the subscriptions are for right now, is for February. And what I want to let everybody who's listening know is, if this sounds interesting to you at all, you should totally do it right now if you can afford it. Don't save it for later. Do it right now and enter in that code NERDY. The reason I'm saying this is because, as of this recording, they've bought an ad from Nerdy Show and an ad from Flame On. If you guys act on it, they will buy more ads from us. And if they do that, then we'll be able to get more revenue for doing more shows, doing more cool stuff. Basically, the goal here at Nerdy Show is to, as candidly as possible, make as much money as we can from all these different sources so that we can become a full-time show. Because currently I'm the only person in the entire network who does this full-time. So that's a lot of me talking, but that's wanted to put that out there, that you should totally, if you're thinking about doing this, it is actually really cool, and you should do it now, because that would be the most awesome for us if you did that now.
Yeah, and even if you're not into comics, you can be like me, who's, I'm not into comics, but I really like Japanese lunches. So this appeals to me too.
Comic bento. Yeah. Sounds delicious.
I worry that you might be a little disappointed. There's no like sushi rice. There's no salmon roe. I'm sorry.
Not even a pickled plum.
Boy, you just,
it does come in a box though.
You got it, man. Man, there's got to be a comic out there for you. Why aren't you ever gotten to comics? Just a time thing, or like what?
I don't know. I just, yeah, it's money. It's space in my house. There's a lot of reasons for me.
Do you not have books?
Sure, I have books.
Comics take up less space than books.
I guess, but if you want to keep up with it, you have to like keep getting huge piles.
If you just said, you know what, I don't really care for the medium because the pictures, like I don't story told through pictures isn't as interesting, but you're like, it takes up too much space.
That's one of the reasons. It's not the only reason. One of the first reasons you said. I also said it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, that's fair.
I used
to
blow a ton of money on comics. I actually used to be into comics.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
I've got boxes and boxes of them from back then, and they're still keeping up a bunch of space.
I got you. So you're like, you've turned a new leaf, and you're just sort of like,
yeah,
okay,
okay.
What was it that made you say enough is enough? Like, what was the comic that you were just like, you know what? That's it. I'm no more after this. This is too much.
I don't think there was such a hard turning point like that. I think it was more of a,
one too many that was disappointing, or one too many that was just mediocre.
Yeah. You know, I had...
Did comics make you go into debt or something? You owed some comic brokers big?
I think I stopped when I was around like 15, so it might have just been starting to drive. Might have been.
You're starting to drive, and then girls are starting to notice, and you're like, "Wait a minute, there's a." I put the comic down.
So, and for many people,
my attention went elsewhere.
For many people, the ability to drive increases the amount of comics you buy because you can get to the comic store more.
It depends. It'll depend on your life situation. Yeah.
Oh, but
yeah.
I could walk to one.
Mm. Oh, I see. Yeah. That makes sense now. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Hey Jess, this is not something we planned for. What's your favorite book coming out right now? What's the best thing you've read recently, comic book wise?
The best thing I've read recently,
if anything comes to mind.
I just read Overture, which was awesome. Which is the Sandman.
Yes.
Which was really good. And then, I mean, I've talked about it before, but I'm also still really digging Spider-Gwen. I think they're still doing an amazing job with that title.
Yeah, man. Overture is great. Overture, if you're not familiar, is the...
It's the prequel to Curtain Lights.
But it's actually the prequel. It's the prequel to Sandman.
Oh.
It's Neil Gaiman's, like, volume zero of Sandman.
Okay.
He had a story that he wanted to tell way back in the day and then solicited DC a couple times. DC was like, eh, you're expensive. Eh. And they're like, shit, we need a hit. Let's pay for that Neil Gaiman finally. So it's a gorgeous, gorgeous Sandman story that... It could make a little bit more sense, I suppose, if you need to probably have read most of Sandman for it to really connect, but it's good. Since Sandman's good, so do that thing. I got to sing the praises briefly of Secret War, which just ended finally. It's Marvel's big crossover event where Doctor Doom got the power of a god, and as all of existence, all the multiverse is about to be obliterated by the Beyonders, these previously established beings of great power, he forged together what he could of the entire multiverse in a kind of like one flat earth of multiversal city-states that he presided over as god for several years, and told this amazing story across a bunch of different books, and then it finally ended. And it ended being the best comics crossover of all time and one of the greatest Fantastic Four stories ever told. Perhaps the ultimate Fantastic Four story. So without spoiling it, check out Secret War when it's collected. It is bonkers. If you're just like, I like superheroes, I want to see a crazy big superhero story, there's never been one greater than this in the history of comic books. This is it. Like, the ultimate moment right here.
It's a mighty high praise.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, even Aaron and I are on the same page about this. So, like, we're like, this is it. Like, the last 30 years of comics history with all the biggest crossovers, they were all bullshit by comparison to this.
Okay. I'll have to read it.
I'm still not in.
Yeah. I understand. It's a lot of pressure.
Sounds expensive.
Well, it's you know, well, probably.
Probably won't be when it's a collection.
Yeah. So, things, we had some bleak times recently. We had a lot of death. It's been miserable. We lost David Bowie. We lost Alan Rickman. Hmm. Both in, I guess, 69 is the new 27. You know, the 27 club of all the young artists who die, and 69 must be where, if they didn't get you the first time, like, it's the second time.
And apparently of liver cancer, too. Same thing.
Yeah. Fuck
really?
That. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, with Bowie, I think the liver cancer was rumored. I don't know that it's been confirmed, but that's the only official note. Hmm. We also lost Angus Scrimm, the tall man from Phantasm, at the ripe age of 89, admittedly. And, of course, Lemmy from Motorhead. And with that, Nintendo actually confirmed that Lemmy Koopa was actually named after him.
Huh.
I wouldn't have suspected, honestly. I know there aren't many people named Lemmy out there, but I just wouldn't have thought.
It's one of four people he could have been named. The other three aren't famous.
Yeah, the Bowie thing hit pretty damn hard for me. As if you follow any of my work with the music website Consequence of Sound, I do a lot of the work pertaining to David Bowie. Like, I've made all the larger articles ever pertaining to him. I've researched his entire life. I know pretty much everything about him. It's not that extreme, but I love Bowie. I know a lot about Bowie. I have been processing this like I would somebody I actually knew. It's been pretty difficult. If you're going through that too, I did write a piece, for better or for worse, helped me reach a certain amount of catharsis. And actually, Mark with a C and I are getting together, and the episode that we release next week is probably going to be Mark with a C and I talking about the life of David Bowie. Just an open-ended chat, no real agenda, but both he and I, we got together back when he was doing the show The Real Congregation on Nerdy Show, and we recorded a massive over 2-hour episode discussing just one David Bowie album, our favorite work of his, the concept record Outside, which is a basically a cyberpunk noir thing. It's great. It's amazing. And if you want to learn that whole story and everything, I actually re-listened to us doing that recording and enjoyed it a great deal because I'd forgotten most of everything we said. It was a good time. So it's been lame. All these deaths. I think this happens in January a lot.
Does it?
I think so. I think
it's like Happy New Year, everything sucks all the time.
Yeah, I remember this happening before. I don't remember who or what the circumstances was, but I feel like this maybe even happened last year as well.
And February, like I think it was February of 2014, is when Harold Ramis died.
Hmm.
And then I'm trying to think of what happened the next year after that. But there was another one, yeah. And it's like it always is just in time for the Oscars to do their in memoriam montage. It's like, God damn it, couldn't you have just waited a little longer? But when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah. Something that you listeners might not know is that currently the job that Trench 88, our community manager, holds is he works for a funeral home. And it is actually true that more people die during the winter. Like, not of being out in the cold.
Yeah, that's not really relevant here.
No, it just sort of happens. But I asked him, like, wait, even in Florida? This happens even in Florida? And he's like, yeah.
Huh.
So something about the time of year, the change in weather, because we do, you know, have some weather changes. It does get cold on occasion.
Yeah, I mean, people do get sick a little bit more when weather changes.
So, like, mm-hmm. we really are Mother Nature's bitch still. Like, that it gets cold and people die in higher numbers than average. It is the season of death. And coincidentally coincides with Christmas. Hooray! So, other stuff to talk about.
Thanks for bringing us down, Kat.
Yeah, let's talk about the future. Let's talk about a future where all of our beloved pop culture icons can get their livers replaced by livers grown just for them inside of a pig.
Oh boy, here we go on this thing. Okay, all right, explain this, because when you told me about this earlier, I was just like, what? He's a real scientist talking about this? This isn't like something out of a Far Cry video game?
Did something new happen? Because I heard about this like a long time ago.
I guess it's sort of taken a different turn. This is the subject is human-animal chimeras, and this comes from an article published by MIT Technology Review called "Human-Animal Chimeras Are Gestating on U.S. Research Farms." So they have been for a little while, but not for very long. And what they're doing is they're basically growing human organs inside pigs and sheep, altering them adding human cells to animal embryos in ways that could, emphasis on could, blur the line between species. This is using stem cells. So the department that's really looking into this a lot is the National Institute of Health, or NIH. They said recently that they would not support studies involving such human-animal chimeras until they'd reviewed the scientific and social implications more closely, because they're worried about the chance that animals' cognitive states could be altered if they ended up with human brain cells.
The fact that we even have to start asking those questions is a little scary. It's like, if you reach the point where you're about to inject something and you go, wait a minute, if I put this in this animal now, it might get human brain cells. It's like, when you're on that precipice, is that legal? Is that legal area still? Like, when does it become illegal?
Well, in the United States, not there just yet. There's one guy who actually left Japan because they were more restrictive of this than we are, which is surprising.
I don't know. It's scary.
From the land that just will slaughter dolphins.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Wholesale slaughter. Yeah.
They're caring about something that they're doing with pigs.
Yeah. Human-animal hybridization is much more frowned upon in Japan.
Huh.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, this seems like the start to an anime. So they could have just been like, we've grown up with like weird shit like this on our TVs. So, nuh-uh, stay away from this.
Oh, no, we've seen this one before.
Yeah.
I don't think of anime so much as the Isle of Dr. Moreau, like the worst possible version of that, you know?
Well, funny you should say Island of Dr. Moreau. A quote from the NIH ethicist David Resnick says, "We are not near the Island of Dr. Moreau, but science moves fast. The specter of an intelligent mouse stuck in a laboratory somewhere screaming, 'I want to get out,' would be very troubling to people."
So Secret of NIMH,
yes,
and Isle of Dr. Moreau is what he's really saying.
And this is coming from the NIH, which is just one letter away from
The Secret of
NIMH.
The Secret of NIMH.
Which I might add, We've now mentioned Secret of NIMH two episodes in a row.
Yeah, all right.
That's true and weird.
But we're talking about animals learning and gaining sentience.
Well, if it makes you feel better, even though that their brains might become like more close to a human's, their vocal cords wouldn't. So if they were stuck in a cage thinking, I need to be let out, they wouldn't be able to express it properly. So if that makes you feel better,
yay. That actually makes me feel so much worse.
Yeah, worse. Well, but as we saw in Secret of Nim, they might not be able to communicate that to us, but rats, man, they can get out of a cage no problem. If they're smart as a human, they'll figure it out, they'll get out, and they'll form some kind of crazy subterranean cult beneath a farmhouse.
That could definitely happen.
Just saying. And that is not the only crazy quote in this article. For example, the guy who emigrated from Japan to the United States, this fella, he's actually been using his own cells for the experiments.
Oh, gosh. It just gets worse and worse.
They're all related to him.
The human cells they're working with are called iPS cells, which are made from skin or blood that's been chemically reprogrammed. And he's been using his own because recruiting volunteers involves too much paperwork when injecting cells into animals. So it's just more convenient.
Oh, it's going to say da-da. It's going to be like that scene in Alien Resurrection where the Ripley clone.
Kill me. Yeah,
kill me. Open the door, and it's just all these other mutated versions, but it's all them.
And my favorite quote, Pablo Ross, a veterinarian and developmental biologist at the University of California.
We're a long way from Alien Resurrection, but, you know, science moves pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's a lot of, well, Kevin this, just this, keeps and doing this, that. But this would, or this naming. Could.
When you keep referencing movies of science abominations and saying, well, it's not that, but maybe someday.
It's like someone developing teleportation technology. Be like, well, we're a long way from Star Trek, but the fly is pretty close.
Oh,
God. So Paulo Ross says, my view is that the contribution of human cells is going to be minimal. Maybe 3%, maybe 5%. But what if they contributed to 100% of the brain? What if the embryo that develops is mostly human? It's something that we don't expect, but no one has done this experiment, so we can't rule it out. These quotes are bonkers. Why are they even saying these things? They're all being like, there's no chance of this, but... It's like they're trying to shoot this industry in the foot because this is the best chance people have for tailor-made organs to fix organ failure. This is the best chance they have. And this fucking article is full of the boogeyman.
I guess they just want to be able to say, we told you so, when the animals rise up. I don't know. You weren't patient for the 3D printed organs. You had to have it now. It's like, yeah, well, I'm dying. I need my organ now.
Yeah. And you can't even eat the bacon because it's part human.
Oof. It's a weird situation, guys.
Just turn into I Am Legend. It's not my fault.
They're not even letting these animals come to term. Like right now, they're injecting the cells. They're like, okay, cool. We kind of made a baby. All right, so we're gonna kill the baby, and now we're gonna test. See, did it work? Okay, it looks like it kind of worked. Like that,
oh, man, that's weird.
So
it's like high school science class.
Yeah, kind of.
So
I mean,
they're cutting up fetal pigs.
Yeah, it's grisly work. This is, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like they're allowing them to develop for 28 days, and a pig is normally born in 114. So it's like, oh, let's open it up, see if there's a human organ. And nope, well, we failed again. Let's try again.
But there's, I mean, they're out there. They're growing. They're getting killed. They're growing some more. I don't know. And it's a very weird conversation. But animal testing is always a weird conversation to have.
Why do you keep bringing us down, Cap?
I'm sorry.
You're like, you know what? Everyone dies. Everything's dying. It's winter time. Everything's dying. Let's move on to a better topic. You know, animals die too. What if their deaths were totally meaningless? What if we were trying to save lives?
But wait, it gets worse. We're killing them, yeah. And here's why.
Yeah. Because we're still dying, and we're trying to solve death by growing organs inside other animals.
How do you want to fix this, man? Where are we going next?
I don't know.
I don't know. Tell me about some new game that's coming out or something.
Oh, Pocket Morty. Where you enslave innocent children and...
From all the different dimensions?
Yeah.
Well, that's already out. I was hoping for a new release thing, but we can talk about Pocket Mortys.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about Pocket Mortys. For the uninformed, Pocket Morty is a new free game on your mobile device that is basically Pokemon, but Rick and Morty.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah?
When they first started teasing it, they had like these animated pictures, and I was like, ha, it looks like Pokemon. And then, like, a little bit later, they were like, no, this is a thing. And then now it's a full-fledged Pokemon game that you can play.
How many Mortys do you have?
I think I've only got about 5 or 6 Mortys. I haven't been playing it a ton. But wow, is it a nice way to, like, throw away a little bit of time.
Or yeah. a lot of time.
Or a lot of time.
Yeah, what I love about it is it's... so you play Rick and you're sending out your Mortys to fight each other. And, like, I get into the mindset of Rick if, like, my Morty, like, screws up. So if my Morty misses an attack or if he faints, I'm like, oh, God, Morty, you're so useless. What is wrong with you? And but then you think, like, oh, I'm making this child fight other children. And then you get Mortys being like, oh, why are we doing this?
Premise for the game is that there are infinite dimensions and therefore infinite Mortys. And these Mortys are being captured throughout various dimensions and being reprogrammed with chips that you inject into their neck so that they think that you are their version of Rick.
So that's why they follow you.
Instead of the Pokeball. Yeah, you don't capture them with a Pokeball. You put a chip in their neck.
Yeah, and they follow you around.
I guess that really is the best way for you to see it through Rick's perspective. That Morty is just dispensable and useless and... You know, there's an infinite... It's just...
But he still cares about your Morty more than the rest of them.
True. But to him, even the idea that the rest of them are just as infinitely useless and disposable. I've yet to play it. I saw LaForge play it. He had an ancient Morty, like a super ancient Morty, because he had 2 elderly Mortys, and he merged them, and it was like ancient Morty.
I haven't even gotten to play with the merging thing yet, but I've got, like, Phantom Morty. There's, like, Scruffy Morty.
I saw a spooky Morty, which was basically Morty with just a sheet over him.
Yeah.
Like a
ghost. Yeah.
I saw him merge. Three-headed Morty and another 3-headed Morty, and it turned into like multi-headed Morty, which looked like something out of The Thing, where it's just body parts all over it. It was pretty ridiculous.
And John and Kristen are playing it, and one of them has a Cronenberg Morty.
A Cronenberg nice. Morty?
Yeah, like because in I guess you haven't seen this episode. There's a world that Rick classifies as Cronenberg world, where everything's just body horror.
Oh, okay.
and Brandon's been sending me Mortys he's got. He has a Mystic Morty, which is a Morty who kind of looks like this like freaky Doctor Strange kind of like enchanter guy with a mustache, like a Vincent Price mustache. And he had a Veiny Morty, which is a Morty without any skin. kind of like a pink fleshy Morty. So like let's say an upper epidermis, and he evolved into no skin Morty, which is full blown like muscles and tendons and shit.
Wow.
And Kristen, she had a mermaid Morty.
Mermaid Morty.
Yeah, and mermaid Morty, I guess, evolved maybe into reverse mermaid Morty, which is fish head on the top, boy on the bottom.
That's amazing.
I saw a luchador Morty, and what else was there?
I have various levels of homeless Mortys. I have, like vagrant really? Morty or something. Yeah, and there's hippie Morty, there's mustache Morty, there's some sort of a floating fetal Morty.
There is a.
Oh, I have that. I have the test X1 Morty.
Yeah,
there's a one eyed Morty. And a Cyclops Morty.
There's also a No-Eyes Morty.
Yeah, there's a No-Eyed, too.
I wonder how if you mix the two, the Cyclops, the One-Eyed, and the No-Eyes, does that make a regular Morty?
I got a Blips and Chits coupon, and that's how the game makes its money, if you want to buy these coupons. But they also will, on occasion, give you these and let you just randomly get a little gotcha ball full of crap. And, man, I got so much good equipment out of there. But I also got a Morty. I got a gaseous Morty.
Nice.
And it's this, like, green fart cloud of a Morty with 2 little eyes.
What was the game that he played?
I got a cowboy Morty out of it.
What was the game they played at Blitz and Chits? Is Joe or something? Or Dave? What was it?
It was some regular guy's name.
I think it was Dave.
Oh, I think it was something to Dave was, like, the sequel game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Was it Bill? Why can't I remember that?
He's taking him off the grid. You know, he's burning his like. His
he doesn't have a social security number.
I want to see the mobile version of that. Really,
I loved how Morty was like traumatized by that game.
Yeah.
He got out of it.
Where's my wife?
Wait, what? It's so good. It's so good. And yeah.
you beat cancer just to go back to the rug store? Come on, man.
It's beautiful. Oh, man, it's so good. This is basically wrapping up Nerdy Show, this episode. Thanks for listening. Tell us what you think about this slightly altered new format. Got to give some shout-outs to people. Got to tell you about some cool stuff before we go. For one, our State of the Empire coloring contest is still ongoing. So that
How many contestants now?
Two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
So it's not a sure thing anymore. Anybody could get it.
What are you saying, Jess?
I was saying your odds are good.
Yes. Yes, your odds are very good. Here's how this
works.
Not
as good as they were before.
When it was just one person?
Well, there's three prizes. So if there's two, there's still one open spot.
Yeah, but you're not guaranteed the grand prize anymore. Or well, it's not a 50-50 shot.
Technically, they're all the grand prize because the first place gets first choice is how it works.
I don't want no sloppy seconds.
Here's what this is. State of the Empire is our Star Wars speculation podcast where we look for news in Alderaan places. And we turned
It's that planet they blew up.
Yeah, that's the one. I bet Princess Leia would find that in very bad taste. So one of our recent pieces of episode art I composed entirely out of illustrations from coloring books. You go to nerdyshow.com/SOTE contest, that's State of the Empire contest, or nerdyshow.com/Star Wars. Go to the contest page, and you can download the image, color it in by any means. I'm talking digital, I'm talking crayons, whatever you want, girl. And we have prize packs that are all outlined on this page. Classic 1990s Star Wars Micro Machines playsets, the transforming heads, in full runs of the recent Marvel Star Wars comics, everything so far, and Jar Jar's party pack full of all kinds of Star Wars ephemera from like a lot of Taco Bell toys from Special Edition Episode 1, the infamous Chewbacca notebook that helped
kind of spoiled
it. Yeah, kind of spoils the very end of Force Awakens to anyone who is looking closely at it. It's interesting stuff. It's some good stuff. Check it all out there. nerdyshow.com/SOTE contest. For some reason, no one is playing this game. No one wants to win this, aside from two awesome people. So you must compete against these two awesome people. Just throw down. What do you have to lose? Nothing. Jump in.
Can hosts play?
Unfortunately, no.
Ah!
Yeah, because I...
Otherwise, I would take the prize from you guys.
This includes the Lando comics, right?
It does not.
Oh, it does not?
It does not include the Lando comics. I'm sorry. You should go out and buy the Lando comic. I think it comes out like late January, early February. It's the best fucking Star Wars comic you're ever going to read. I like it so much, I'm not giving it away. You cannot
okay.
touch my Lando comic.
All right,
comic.
So you're holding on to it for yourself.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
No. There are some things I will not give away. That's one of them. That's for me. But the entire full run of Star Wars and Darth Vader up to the conclusion of Vader Down, I mean, there's some books in there that are worth tens of dollars.
Yeah. What?
So, yeah, and altogether,
and we're giving
I don't
this
even know.
Stuff away.
Yeah, we're giving
all
it away.
All I gotta do is color it in. All I gotta do is color the thing.
Yeah, not much to ask. All right, so awesome people have contributed to us. We're an entirely listener-supported podcast network. If you like this show, if you like any of the shows in the network, we run a Patreon. We have one-time donations. If you shop on Amazon, you probably do. All you got to do is follow our affiliate links to Amazon. Anything you buy on there, add in your cart, and then check out. A percentage of that will go back to us at no extra cost to you. Go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon to do that. Actually, we just found out about something really cool. Jess, you want to take the reins on this? You want to tell them the cool thing Amazon is doing that they can totally take advantage of with us and them?
Yeah, totally. So if you sign up for Amazon Prime, or if you already have Amazon Prime, Amazon is now giving you 20% off all pre-release games and new games. And they're classifying new games as ones that have been released in the last 2 weeks, I believe. So it just comes with your Prime membership. You don't have to pay anything more, and you automatically get 20% off all new games, which is pretty awesome.
When I first heard about this, I thought it was like a one-day sale that they were doing. So I put like a bunch of games in my cart, and I was like ready to spend like a couple hundred dollars. And then I looked into it a little further, and I realized that it was just going to be like that. And I was like, oh, I can calm down. But I did get really excited about it at first.
Yeah, if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, basically, Amazon is going crazy. So it can be, it wants to be the way you get video games. And if it is the way you get video games, you should totally click through from nerdyshow.com/Amazon to do it. Now, here's another thing I found out. I was digging around. I was like, is there anything we can do as affiliates to get kickback based on Prime memberships? Can we do that? Kind of. We can get $3 for visitors who sign up who become Amazon Prime subscribers. So if you follow our links and want to subscribe to Amazon, they'll just straight up give us $3. And if you, as an Amazon Prime subscriber, or even probably you don't need to even be subscribed, but if you gift Amazon Prime to somebody using our purchase links, we get $5.
Huh.
So if any of those things are of interest to you, it's all the more ways that you can just do what you're normally doing and inadvertently support us as well. It's super convenient. And if you bookmark the special URL that we have on our Amazon page, then that's an easy way to always go to, let's call it the correct version of Amazon.com.
The best version of Amazon.com.
Now, like I mentioned before, you can do one-time donations on Nerdy Show. If you go to nerdyshow.com/support, there's all the information for all the different ways to support us. I don't want to inundate you with repetition here, but it's easy to do. There's all kinds of different ways you can support if you can just do it one time, if you want to subscribe on Patreon. If you do one time, we'll give you a shout out and you can tell us stuff to say. So here's what's up. We got to give a shout out to Owen Viao, who supported us, and also Jesse Skipworth, who supported us via one-time donation and said, love the D&D podcast with all the intense pickles the gang gets into. Keep it up. Thanks so much, Jesse. And we are doing our damnedest to bring D&D back soon. But here's the deal. Colin's having a baby, and it's probably coming this week. So he's our chief editor. He plays Barty. And we're a little bit tied up in that front. But we're going to bring it back ASAP. And when it does, it's going to be on a more regular schedule.
Can we find him a babysitter?
Maybe. Maybe if, like, if...
Would he be willing to let a babysitter...
Donate now to
baby?
Contribute to the babysitter fund.
Well, I mean, that's no joke. If we can afford it, I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get that show produced. So, just putting that out there.
Name your price, Colin. Like, to abandon your child and get back to work behind a desk.
We have some new patrons as well. These are people who are subscribing to us on Patreon at different tiers. We got to welcome Scott John Harrison, a.k.a. Shaded Sprider, longtime Nerdy Show fan, joining the Patreon fold.
Right on.
Who, as a $10 and up subscriber, is entitled to a monthly shout-out, and he says, greetings to Nerdy Show from jolly old England. Glad that after 3-plus years of listening to the show, I can finally support you guys. Raising a glass to the second year of State of the Empire, watching more stream team, including impromptu Lightning Dogs discussion, and concept art, more nerdy theater. Since I'm supporting Scott and Brian, more Nuts and Bolts. So Nuts and Bolts is our behind-the-scenes show for the Atomic Robo comic book, and we've been off the air with that for a while, so we hope to bring it back. That's the next milestone we're working towards, bringing back lots of different shows by being able to officially pay editors, because we are a very grassroots program here. We're recording out of a spare bedroom. That's just how we roll. We sound real classy because we like to keep it classy, but... We're pretty damn lo-fi.
A spare bedroom that doesn't even look like you could fit a queen in here.
You know, it would be really hard pressed. This is like a college dorm size, maybe smaller.
We're really jammed in here, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, jammed. We gotta wang jangle our way out of this one, guys. We also give a shout out to Ben Weatherall, Cash Forge, Justin Venegas, and Jameson Lalone. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so, so much.
A tip of the hat to all of the new patrons.
All of you. And in fact, actually, I'm reading this. All these things didn't coincide. I didn't figure it out in my brain meat. Wait. Weird. Okay.
Yeah, one
okay,
of them so, pig-grown brains. That's why.
What? Jameson Lalone, are you of any relation to the other Lalone who requested the Deadpool discussion? Jeffrey Lalone? Do we have a... Are you unrelated? Is this like a... Are you related? I don't know, write in. Let us know if you're related.
Maybe this means that people are telling a friend.
Maybe so. And I want to emphasize that. If you can't support in any way financially, that's fine. That's so fine. There's other ways you can help us out. Telling a friend is the best way. If you're on Reddit or if you frequent any kind of social media, recommend us. There's all kinds of Reddit threads. People
subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah, subscribe on YouTube. People ask, hey, I'm looking for this kind of a podcast, and just, you know, throw any Nerdy Show stuff out there. We do so many different shows. There's probably recommendation for
everybody. It's bound to be something.
Yeah.
Or review on iTunes.
Yeah, that's a big one. Rumor has it, and I don't know if there's really any truly substantiated information on this, but rumor has it, everyone seems to think, and I'm pretty sure this is true, that if you rate and if a show is rated and reviewed on iTunes, it is just more likely to show up in iTunes searches, and that can mean more new people listening to the show. So if you like us, if you like this program or any of the programs on the Nerdy Show Network, the network has a feed on iTunes. Every individual show has a feed. Do what you have time for. But if you rate and review us, that is one of the best things you can do, so I'm told.
I can confirm, as I teach people mobile development, and that's also how Amazon or how Apple's App Store works. So
okay, well, that makes sense then. It's probably the same. Cool. I want to give one last thing, okay? And then I'll shut up. We have a store. Sometimes people don't know we have a store. So I just want to point out we do have a store on Nerdy Show. There's a link on the top of the page. You can go to nerdyshow.com/store and get there. We've got all kinds of products. If you want to rep Nerdy Show out in the world, we have stickers. They're high-quality vinyl stickers, $2 a piece. We have them for Nerdy Show and Dungeons & Doritos. And also, we have shirts. There's an independent shirt store. We have to kind of keep things separate because we're doing print-on-demand shirts at Amazon now. They're very, very high quality. This enables us to not have to spend a ton of money ordering a whole stock of shirts and then mailing them out. This means everyone is made just for you, and the transfer process is great. It really, really, really holds up. This is not bullshit iron-on stuff. This is quality shirts.
I've seen quality from the early days of Cafe Press up through Zazzle and up to this. This is by far the best quality that I have seen. Like, we did the stretch tests and the wash tests on some of them.
You would think it's screen printed.
Yeah.
So we have a shirt store. It's got all kinds of shirts there. All sorts of Dungeons and Doritos shirts, Nerdy Show logo shirts. We've recently added 2 Friday Night Fan Fiction shirts. So if you're a fan of that show, check it out. We have 2 designs, both one that's Game of Thrones inspired and also one that's their show logo. So check those out. And all fun proceeds to those shirts go back to that show. So yeah, I think that's the gist of it. I've rambled quite a bit. Any things I've forgotten, guys? Anything else to add? Closing statements?
The Revenant was a beautiful film, but I only have to see it once. I don't think I'll be buying the DVD.
I agree with that. I agree.
I don't know. You said something about Taco Bell toys earlier, and ever since then, I've just been thinking about Taco Bell. So
we can go somewhere better than Taco Bell, can't we?
Definitely.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Cool. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Again, let us know what you think about the new format. Definitely do the Comics Bento thing if you think about it, if that's your bag. And we love you long time. Taking us out is a track on the subject of human-animal hybridization. This is Animal Magic by Professor Elemental from his 2010 album, The Indifference Engine. We actually recently had a listening party with Professor Elemental on Nerdy FM, our nerd music radio station. You can hear this track and lots of others in all nerd genres all the time, whenever you want, on nerdy.fm at that URL, or you can get an app on Apple and Android. So, without further ado, Animal Magic by Professor Elemental.
I'm pleased you've returned. I've secrets that you need to learn. Apologies, you have to use complex directions. I'm currently avoiding arrest and detection. Expelled from the role of clubs in society. I've been told I lack sanity, even sobriety. So don't lie to me if you need to leave. I've seen the finest men that need to heave and distribute their guts across my hallway floor with disgust. So before we take our tour, be sure, stay close, extra tight. Jeffrey, fetch our guest a pipe and prepare the lab, you wretched type. Damn monkey butler, best get this right. Special guest tonight, you're completely certain, then step to the right as I draw back the curtain. Animal magic. This is animal magic. Animal magic. This is animal magic. Now you see. The myriad wonders of nature, it's true, can be understood fully in my homemade zoo by brain swapping with my cranial cutter. I created my apish butler, like any explorer. Forging new boundaries, I found this astounding. It took me an owl beak and wings, grafted to a tortoise shell. And now my owl toys is doing quite well. Now my chimpanzee's not the prettiest of creatures. My donkey peed has the silliest of features. My lobsteroos don't like their claws, and my bat traps do fly into doors. But until you've heard the Bajamingo sing, or fed a tiny fish to a baby mama quinn, my dear sir or madam, you've never lived. It's an impressive gift, so treasure this animal magic. I'm not joking. This cage should not be open. My chameleon might be hiding loose. Oh God, so's the stripy tiger goose. And yes, they're stunning, and yes, they're wondrous, but yes, they're cunning, and they may come for us. If there's rumpus, you're able to run, I trust. Jeffrey, fetch me my blunderbuss. Oh no, don't tell me you're using this mutiny. I just wanted unity. What will they do to me? Trapped, beheaded, oddly sickened. They attached my head to the body of a chicken. Run for your life, they're on a mad stampede, leaving me combined betwixt man and beast. So strange, so odd, in retrospect, perhaps a mistake to play God.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.